WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. Matt has kittens? Wow! I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Kane?
What?
Did they name one Kane?
You should name one Brent.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here. It's WrestleMania.
It's here. It's finally here. WrestleMania is here at last. I know it, like, I know it hasn't been that long, but this feels like it's taken us forever to get here. And I don't know if it's just we haven't really had anything huge between Mania and Chamber. Like, I know we've had small stuff, but like a Saturday night's main event. But like, I don't know. This build or this road to Mania has felt excessively long. What about for you?
Because it's longer.
Yeah.
We're now late April. In theory, WrestleMania was last week.
Yeah.
Because that's when it was supposed to be. And then we moved to Vegas. Because it was scheduled for New Orleans last weekend, which would have went up against the Masters. So in of itself, that was a good move. They moved it.
Yeah.
But now they're up against the NBA and NHL playoffs. So that also kind of is tricky. Thankfully, there's no confliction for me because Sixers play at 1 on Sunday. So we're good. We're golden there.
Rock solid. He's good.
We're solid. could be watched out of things by the time WrestleMania ends, but at least we're golden there. But yeah, no, it's been a long build. But it's been overall a good build to WrestleMania. Have there been bumps in the road? Yes. Have people overly complained about things? Yes. Has management decided to add people to the build? Yes. Is it the right thing? We will see.
Hi, Spaz.
So
tell me what he does.
Okay. For the live audience or the podcast audience, there's a cat who likes Lindsay's voice, so that's what she's doing. So because we have to tell the podcast people what's actually happening. So that's where we're at. We have 13 matches to get into tonight.
Yeah, so I mean, just to kind of go back on that a little bit and talk about that a little bit more, like, have some of the builds been what I think what we all wanted them to be? No. Like, I think there are some stories that we wanted to go differently. When I say we, I mean the collective we, not just we here tonight on this call or later listening later. I think there have been things that we wish had happened differently, but one can argue that circumstances are circumstances and choices were made. And now WWE is trying to make that choice valid. And there has been a struggle. We've all seen it. We all know it's present in there. I wouldn't say that a lot of the choices that have been made have been to fix that, as some people would imply, because obviously a lot of these deals are made in advance. Like, for example, getting Joe Jonas to show up. That is made in advance. So that's not just something they called around to Vegas and were like, hey, would you come perform at our show? No, they've had that booked probably for about a year. But the Pat McAfee thing is recent. That happened at Elimination Chamber. And which means they were probably planning it. I would guess Rumble is when they started to consider it.
They started planning it around Elimination Chamber. That's
okay.
When contact was made. Because they were like, we have to do something. And Matt TKO thought that's what they need to do, and it's become one of the most polarizing conversations, to say the least. And they're going off the build of, and that's the first match we're talking about.
Let's just do it.
It's the Cody Rhodes Randy Orton undisputed WWE Championship match that will main event night one of WrestleMania. TKO Ariel Emanuel interjected and added creative, where he wanted a connection with his guy, Pat McAfee. Ari was a longtime agent. He represents a lot of people in the entertainment industry, and he sees a lot in Pat. Right or wrong, he sees a lot in him. He thinks he's going to be a huge star, and for what he does, he is a huge star. But he's transitioning into more of an entertainment. He's trying to get him into films and movies and get his name out there, and that's great. He also knows Pat is tied to ESPN and using Pat to cross-promote a storyline, which they did. So for those who were wondering what would happen when Pat McAfee and Randy Orton took the WWE Championship on Friday and held it since then, on Wednesday, there was footage aired on the Pat McAfee show of Cody Rhodes breaking, quote-unquote, into the Thunderdome, a.k.a. Pat McAfee Studio, and taking said WWE Championship back, which we told you exactly what happened on Sunday. That was the kind of the direction where it was going to go, where it's like he's going to get his belt back, and that made more exposure, that got more clips, it got more people talking. Well, he didn't break into it, quote, he was let in and then broke a bunch of things and, you know, that sort of thing. And then Pat wanted to supposedly charge him with trespassing and all the thing. But
is it wrong that my reaction to that whole thing was, are the mics okay? Is that bad? Is the audio equipment okay?
And he didn't touch a single audio piece, so everything was okay.
Like, he broke some things, and they did the classic pan up to show you the damage. I'm like, is the audio equipment okay? You know, because Pat's got some expensive stuff in there.
He does.
I think.
So, but a lot of it's been polarizing. People have said it's the worst angle in the history of professional wrestling. All right. One, watch some professional wrestling.
there have been a lot of worse things in professional wrestling.
Just a lot, but it's been poorly rated on websites that this is terrible and awful. Is it great? No, but I can see where they're coming from with what they wanted to do. Could they have gone about the Raw a different way? Yes. Yeah. Going on air talking about lowering ticket prices, people calling it desperate. Yeah, they want to move tickets, and mass emails weren't working. So they're going to stage it where, one, Punk brought it up, and then Pat followed it up as a shot back at Punk. So that wouldn't have been a thing if Punk didn't mention it. So, synergy.
It's marketing 101.
It is.
They're trying, again, it's the issue is not the marketing. The issue is the pricing. And they have identified that the pricing is the issue, but they are not going to lower the pricing for the sake of the show. The pricing is what it is, unless they put them on sale in the next like 24 hours and they just fire sale whatever they have left off, which they may have already done because I'm sure the hotels will have stuff for comps and everything else. I think my only real issue with including Pat in this is, out of all the feuds, out of all the stories, out of all the ways to get him on the show, you had plenty of other avenues to do it. To me, for me, Randy versus Cody is kind of one of those really long time stories that I've been waiting for them to sort of tell, because there's so much history between those two. And it's kind of one of those that you're waiting for all of that, because they were in Legacy together. And then it's like you had, like, I think, was Randy Cody's? No, Cody wasn't on NXT. But you have like that parallel history with each other.
So to add to that, Randy was Cody's first match.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. Thank you. And then they did Legacy and they did a bunch of other stuff together before Cody eventually left and went his own path and told his own story. And then, you know, finished the story famously a few years ago at WrestleMania. Whereas Randy has stayed the course. He stayed with WWE the whole time. He's been in and out of trouble, but he's sort of like leveled off and he's found his own way and he's risen into the spot that Cody always wanted.
So,
and Cody is still actively trying to achieve.
Yeah. So look, here's the issue. There is 20 years of history, right? Everyone knows that there's 20 mm-hmm. years of history. It's hard to tell a lot of the history story without mentioning certain people that you probably don't want to mention, that they've kind of run through the table with, like Dusty Rhodes. They've beaten that story to death. No one wants to bring up the DiBiase factor, because that's touchy, say the least.
Yeah, but it's kind of one of those things that you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And they can poke fun at it. Like, you can bring up Legacy. You could talk about Stardust and like how Cody's path veered and all this other stuff. Like, there's ways to get around it,
but
that don't involve Pat McAfee.
No, and I get that, but here's the point: they were going in a direction where they were doing everything they 101 booking for this feud. Cody Rhodes came out and went, "I want Randy Orton, the Legend Killer, the Viper, all the things," right?
Mm-hmm.
And they ran the angle. Randy attacked. And Randy got cheered.
That's fine.
No, it's not.
Why?
Because that was supposed to be where he gets booed. Because you're supposed to feel sorry for Cody.
But nobody feels sorry for Cody. Everybody's sick of Cody.
And that's the problem with what they were trying to do. You see the
Pat
point?
Pat McAfee isn't going to fix the fact that people are sick of Cody.
I'm not saying it. But just hear me out. Pat got brought in because everything they were doing, the fans were mm-hmm. not playing along. Even they were cheering when he beat up Matt Cardona.
Okay.
But the audience was not giving them the heel reaction they needed.
So you shift the story Cody play the bad guy.
But they don't want to make him the bad guy.
Why?
Number one merch seller. His name used to be John Cena. He's the guy. Cody's the guy.
Sometimes, but that doesn't mean he's immune to doing bad things. That doesn't mean that he's like perfect. You know, he's human. He has human reactions. And Randy getting cheered for doing bad things, Cody could have a human reaction to that. He could get frustrated. He could get upset. He could beat up Randy. You know, he could do other things. He can still play a good guy and have a human reaction to things while Randy is playing a bad guy, the quote-unquote bad guy. Like, here's the problem. You have Randy Orton, who has been go along to get along Randy now for years. He's been living his best life as a babyface, and people have fallen in love with Randy again because Randy is Randy, right? And he is not as overexposed as Cody. So, of course, people are going to respond better to Randy because he's in a lot of ways fresher. He's more well-liked. Like, there's no way around that. Absolutely no way around that unless you just overexpose Randy, which they don't have the time to do. So change the flip, change the three. Have Cody get frustrated, have him get pissed, have him be like, you're stealing my spotlight. That could be the story. You've stolen my spotlight for 20 years. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I never got the shot here because of you, because you were always in my way.
But you can't, when the genesis of the story is I want this Randy Orton. You can't be pissed for what you asked for.
Sure you can. You can fire some remorse.
That doesn't work.
Why?
It doesn't sell. You get what you ask for.
Nothing is apparently selling, so I don't see how that's a problem.
I mean, let's be fair. They've sold 40,000 tickets. Let's be fair. It's not like things aren't selling. They're going to make this probably the second largest gate in WrestleMania history. Let's be fair.
Oh, probably. But
my point is, they tried Wrestling 101. Wrestling 101 doesn't. Interjecting Pat McAfee was a great idea. It was. His verbiage stunk. If they use different verbiage for Pat's promos, so much better. Because all Pat needed to do, like the whole idea of the guy on the phone hyping up Randy Orton, he should have been the guy reminding Randy who he was. Shitting on the fans and ticket sales and wanting the Attitude Era back and all the things they rattled off in the promo didn't help business. If he was just the motivator, the coach, in some ways, getting in his ear, reminding who Randy Orton is, that would have worked fine. There would have been no issues. It's the verbiage of the promo that screwed it up.
I'm going to say this, and I say this with love. I don't think Randy needs to be reminded of who he is. I think Randy, out of every character they have on that roster, Randy Orton is probably one of the most self-aware characters they have. So he doesn't need to be reminded that he can be a dick. That exists in him. The slut version of Randy Orton is right there below the surface. He just literally cannot be fucked to do it right now. And he hasn't been fucked to do it for a while. Like, Randy is just literally like, you know what? I'm just gonna chill. I'm gonna make my money. I'm gonna have a good time. I'm not going to worry about stuff. I'm not going to stress about anything, because here's the thing about Randy Orton. Randy has literally nothing to prove to anybody.
But himself.
He doesn't even have to prove it to himself. That kind of character. He's not written like that. That level of insecurity.
But for him, what he wants to prove is he wants 15. And someone has to motivate him to get there. And that would have been the best story.
That would have been the best story, but that's not the story they told.
No, I'm just saying, in a perfect world, that I'm telling you what worked, what would have worked, and how it worked. Not that this is all working. Like, you had the genesis of the idea was perfect. Execution flaw. That's my point.
If Pat had more of a connection, yes. If they had thought of it earlier and they had woven it in, yes, I would agree with that. That it would have worked. But just having... Okay, riddle me this. Answer me this question. Out of everybody on the planet Earth in the wrestling business, right, who could talk to Randy Orton and be like, Randy, you gotta get to 15. You gotta do the thing. You gotta become the slut again. You just gotta do it. You gotta do the thing. Why would Randy Orton listen to Pat McAfee? Why?
Why wouldn't you listen to Pat McAfee?
Reasons?
Like what? Pat's been in the locker room.
Pat's been in the locker room, but he's not there full time.
No, but he's had a relationship with Randy. Like, they've been buddy. Like, he's a wrestler. He was a wrestler in the company. Or performer in the company, not full wrestler. But you get my point.
Yeah, as I say, performer's better.
But if you didn't use Pat, right, who do you use that they can get that made sense?
Honestly, you could do Taker.
No.
Yes.
No. There's no connection there for that.
There there's no connection for Pat McAfee. But if the story you're going to tell is, Randy, you need to do the, you need to become who you were, Taker would be a callback for that. Or you just have Randy come to it on his own. Or you have Cody make him realize it. You shouldn't. The thing is you shouldn't have anybody motivating Randy Orton to do the thing. Randy Orton should motivate himself to do the thing if that's what he really wants. Because again, that is who the character is. He is well beyond the external voices in his head telling him what to do. He was done with that technically after Evolution. And then he lied to Bray Wyatt and he broke Bray Wyatt's heart and he fooled Bray Wyatt and we will never forgive him for that. But he played with it there and then he's never done it again, right? Everything else has been a partnership or a collaboration, but Randy has never been influenced to the point that he's going to do what somebody else tells him to do. It's always Randy does what Randy wants, when Randy wants to do it, and nobody else can make him do something he doesn't want to do. Unless it's by force, like unless like he's in a tag team and his buddy's getting beaten down and he has no choice. He has to fight. He has to interfere. He can be influenced in that way. But in terms of how his character is presented, how it's written, how it's always been done, at least since he left Evolution, is that he is his own man. He's his own person and he does whatever the hell he wants. And that is Randy Orton. He is exceptionally self-aware in how he's presented. He always has been. Like, once he got that footing under him, and once he was good to go, he's never looked back. That's why it doesn't necessarily make sense for Pat to be the one influencing him directly.
And I
and being also, that voice in his ear.
I'll put it like this. Randy's still doing what Randy does. He's just being motivated. Is Pat the right choice?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
No.
But you can't, there's no, if you start the story, who would have made more sense? Taker doesn't make sense. John Cena doesn't make sense. Even Kevin Owens doesn't make sense. Like, you go Bob Orton? I don't want 80-year-old Bob Orton on television. Going to be real.
No, Bob Orton doesn't need to be involved in this. You need to have poor Bob sit at home with his broken arm that still has never healed after 80 years. Bless him.
You're not going to have Ric Flair get on the phone, come out on TV either. He's working for, he's getting checks from Tony Khan. He's not going to be on a WWE program. Like,
besides, they're on the outs again, I think.
Yeah, because WWE said no to a sponsorship thing and he's whining and complaining about it. And then it says he's no longer upset. He goes on Twitter, complains about it. Then the next day apologizes because he gets a check and he's happy again. That's Ric Flair MO. Watch it every single time. Once he gets his money, he's okay. But when you're screwing with my money, I'm gonna complain about it on the internet. It's a sad watch. But anyway, you don't bring Flair would have had the best connection. But you don't want tie back to Flair. You're not gonna get Batista. You don't use Triple H. Like,
the if all else fails, you could use Hunter, but use him as a one-off.
Kevin could make sense, but Kevin's not healthy.
Well, but here's the thing. If he's just being the motivator, if he's the one that's telling Randy Orton, this is what you need to do, or he's counseling Randy Orton, you can have Kevin get revealed and not get physical. It's not the most ideal situation, but you could do it if you had to.
If it for a one-off, yeah, but the idea was someone present. But because he can't be present, it's hard to make it work. Like, character-wise, yes, makes sense. Health-wise, it's a struggle because you don't know his health. And yeah, you could have made Hunter work, but Hunter's... We all see the internet's reaction. Hunter just shoves him... Imagine this, all right? If it was Triple H, how much the internet would have shit on it to abuse it? Well, look at Triple H. He's sticking his nose in another main event storyline right around WrestleMania. He's using his ego.
Not if you frame it correctly.
You can frame it perfectly. Internet's like, boo, Triple H. Boo. I don't want him involved in storyline. Boo.
But if he just walks up, right?
LeMans, I don't understand it either.
I don't get it either. It's weird. But here's the thing. You don't make him the active part of the storyline, right? Where you don't have Randy having the guy on the phone. Okay? We eliminate that. You have Randy contemplating things. He's looking at his future. He's thinking about what he wants to do, where he wants to go. You know, the Cody stuff is making him reflective, whatever you want to, however you want to sell it. Hunter walks by and he just looks at Randy and he goes, why are you thinking about it? You know what you have to do. And he walks off. And it could literally be that easy.
They would still complain.
Hmm? They would still complain? Is that what you said?
Yes. They would still complain.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. That's the internet. That's what they do. They complain.
And all they're doing, they're hating on this too. So, like, you're in a lose-lose situation. If you try to be the most creative story in history, they will complain about something. If they go basic, like, the internet would have been out. They have 20 years of history. Great. Tell it. And if they didn't miss one detail, they would have complained about it too. It's hard. It's a struggle.
It's a huge struggle. Like, the problem is that everybody that would make perfect sense is otherwise unavailable. You can't use the DiBiases. Like, you can't have it be Ted Jr. encouraging Randy to get his revenge or to shut Cody up or, you know, whatever. Actually, Ted would work better for Cody. But still, it's Ted DiBiase. He can't be involved because legal troubles. You can't have Bray Wyatt get involved because, sadly, Bray Wyatt is gone. And so you can't have him influencing Randy and getting in Randy's ear and being like, you know what you have to do.
Like, they tried it with Steph. They tried it to motivate Cody. Like, for Randy, it's like, I don't know. I get, again, it all goes back to, on paper, looks great. Use ESPN guy, get exposure. They screwed up with verbiage.
I still say you could have stuck Pat elsewhere in the show and he would have been better used than where they put him here. Because at the end of the day, we all, and I think what the real gripe about it is we all see it for what it is. That it's a money grab. It's an attention grab. That's what it is. It makes no sense. It has no rhyme or reason or place in this story. And I think that's why everybody ultimately just is shitting on it, is because we all see what they're doing.
So now let's talk about the jelly roll factor. Because jelly roll is going to be there too.
Why jelly roll's gonna be there, I don't know,
but at least that one makes sense because there's history.
There is history. Yes,
he's good friends with Cody and he's good friends with Randy because he was Randy's partner at SummerSlam. They have a connection. So jelly roll being involved makes sense. And jelly roll was trying to pay Peacemaker till he got an RKO, and he's still trying to be the Peacemaker. And yes, it's going to lead to something else.
Randy was a jelly roll at SummerSlam.
No, it's more for the show called Backlash, but that's we'll get to that in a second. It's this main event match, main event of night one. It's going to be convoluted. The match itself will be great. You're going to have a lot of BS involved, but hopefully the BS doesn't overtake what should be a really good match. And now the question is, when we are on the air in 2 nights to talk about WrestleMania Night 1, who is your undisputed WWE champion?
I think I have to go Randy. I know Cody having the title, especially as the company spokesperson, is ideal for them because he can take the title everywhere. But it would be my hope that they realize that Cody is overexposed and that perhaps he is not as effective as he once was. And this isn't a slight on him at all. It's just he's hit market saturation. And there's nothing more that they can do with him in terms of, like, driving anything right now because it's not working. Because people are tired of him. The problem with Cody is that he has been listless for a really long time. He finished that story and they've never found him another one to tell. And they tried with Cena. And it was ultimately just kind of lacking. Because with Cena, I think they tried to tell the wrong kind of story. With Cena in the heel spot and Cody is the babyface. And ultimately it all worked out and it's fine. But
just think about that. They always try. They turn somebody heel to be for Cody. And it just doesn't go the way. Just doesn't go the way they hope. But they're at least attempting.
They're at least attempting, they're trying, but I would hope that they take this as a signal that maybe they need to take Cody's character in a little bit. Maybe they need to refresh him. Maybe they need to have him go on another hiatus or another break. The problem is he was gone not that long ago to shoot his movie, and now he's back, and people are just tired of him.
No, Cody does not need another break.
I don't know what else to do with him.
He needs a chase. and a real chase.
He needs that, but unfortunately, there is no one there right now that can give that to him.
Because Drew McIntyre was not the guy for the chase. Because
no. All the love to Drew.
Because they ran the feud and then they continued the it. He Cody needs to be on Raw because that would be fresh opponents and not fight for the title. He needs to be semi main event guy for 6 months.
Yeah,
he being the number two program on Raw. You move someone back to SmackDown, and by SummerSlam, by Survivor Series, you talk about it for the title.
Yeah, or maybe go a little longer because I think that's the whole thing.
But not put him not have him win it, but you talk about it, you know, the motivation to be champion again and get him in that picture. You flirt with it because then by Royal Rumble, he's a contender.
Yeah, but I think he just needs to. They just need to reset him. They just need to back off of him for a minute because everybody knows who he is. He's Mr. Spokesman, and he can still go out there and shake hands and kiss babies and do everything that he's doing. He can still be the merch mover. He can still do all of that stuff. But you just maybe back off of him for a little while, and you move somebody into that spot until you can establish that chase for him. I just. Like, obviously, putting the title right back on Cody did not work. And people were not happy with it. And even though it was a lovely moment between John Cena and Cody Rhodes, don't get me wrong, great moment in wrestling, I think people just are over it. So, it's been a minute since Randy's had the title.
Yeah, it's title picture fatigue.
Yeah. So, you put the title on Randy, you have him carry it to SummerSlam, he drops it to somebody else. And then Randy goes does Randy things, whatever those are.
So you're going Randy.
I'm going Randy. What about you?
Going with the 15-time New World's WWE Champion, Randall Keith. So you tell me what the 8-ball says.
8-ball? Cody? God damn it, we're not doing this again. We are not doing this again. You behave yourself.
If this says Wrestler 3.
Wrestler 1.
Say...
That would be Cody Rhodes.
All right. 8-ball, Randy.
Says better not tell you.
Can we just say that's Cody and move on?
One more time for good old times. 8-ball, Randall Keith Orton.
Congratulations to Cody Rhodes.
It is decidedly so.
I'm going to have you ask the 8-ball because the 8-ball likes you better.
No, it's not congratulations Cody Rhodes. We'll win with Cody Rhodes. It's not, you know, not all. Not all there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you won the job with the 8-ball, so. It's your job.
But you can ask it questions because it likes you better.
All right. Let's run through some matches, shall we?
All right. The Women's Tag Team Championship. Nia Jackson, Lash Legend versus Charlotte and Alexa versus Bayley and Lyra versus the Bella Twins. Congratulations, Nikki, for getting cleared.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know yet. Find out tomorrow, I think. But as now, she's on the show.
If nothing else, you just drop the Bellas off and you just have those three go.
Can we get rid of Nia and Lash, too?
No. Aren't they the champions?
They are.
You can't get rid of them.
I know, but for the better quality wrestling match, Charlotte and Alexa versus Bayley and Lyra would be the... It would be really great.
It would be fantastic, but that's not what they're going to give us.
No, but I think Nia and Lash dropped the belts. 2 months ago, I would have said Bella Twins just to kind of give it to them, as it were. But then Brie said, I have a 2-year deal, so it's like, all right, it's no rush to give it to them.
Thanks for that info, Brie. We appreciate it.
Okay, so you can put it back on the former chance, Charlotte and Alexa, or give it to Bayley and Lyra. To me, this is a make good. Bayley needs a moment.
Yeah.
Because she ate it and dealt with Becky Lynch's situation last year at WrestleMania, which she knew coming in, but still stinks. I think this would be a good moment because they can be your workhorse team, go on all the brands, work for a couple months, and just roll with it. I think it's time. As much as I love Charlotte and Alexa as a team, I don't think they win here. I think it goes to Bayley and Lyra, and then just give me Charlotte and Alexa versus Bayley and Lyra. I don't care if it's Raw after Mania, SmackDown after WrestleMania, or even Backlash, and let them run for 20 minutes. Because that'd be fantastic. So my pick is Bayley and Lyra. What about you?
I think in general, not just the make good, Bayley and Lyra makes sense. I love Charlotte. I love Alexa. Don't get me wrong. I think they're a fantastic team. But I feel like they've had their moment. And it's been a while since Bayley's done anything really huge. So I think to just, because at some point you're going to take Bayley out of that team and you're going to put her back in title contention.
Or
so
Lyra.
I feel like you, I'm sorry.
Or Lyra.
Yes, both. I shouldn't forget Lyra. But it's like you've got them kind of, like the tag team is a holding pattern. We all know it's a holding pattern. So I feel like to sort of keep that stock high on them, you put the titles on them, you let them carry the titles, you let them represent, they can go across brands, they can do everything that they need to do, and it will be fine. And it gives them a little shine. So I'm going Bayley and Lyra.
So I asked the Magic 8-Ball.
8-Ball. The Bella Twins? Hey! First shot.
Wrestler 2.
Charlotte and Alexa.
Okay. All right. Up next, in a rather pieced together match that no one was really expecting, which is good, Seth Rollins is taking on Gunther.
As we learned, it's two guys who just wanted to find out who's best.
I respect it.
Simple and easy story. The two guys go, give them 15, 20 minutes on WrestleMania, let them run, and they will. Seth has a point to prove to come back healthy. He hopes to not stink up the joint. Hopefully he doesn't. Could Bron Breakker interfere? Possibly, but I don't think so.
I wouldn't count on Bron at this state.
No, because I think he's night after Mania surprise. Like, Raw after Mania surprise. I think Bron Breakker shows up, and they start the road for Rollins Breakker. As for who wins?
That's tough. I think the question is can you afford to put a loss on Gunther?
Yes, because I don't... Okay, so it boils, because I want to be quick, it boils down to what's the bigger match coming out of this show. Short-term, Seth Rollins is going to mean more to Raw than Gunther will. So I'm going Rollins over Gunther, because if Gunther's big thing is SummerSlam, one loss here doesn't hurt, because we all are thinking his SummerSlam opponent is also losing here. So I'm going Rollins over Gunther. What about you?
I don't know. That's tricky. Because I think you can put a loss on him. The problem is I feel like the whole retirement thing is botched, because you had him retire Cena. It's like, okay, great. And then you followed that up almost immediately with AJ Styles. And then you had him go in on Rey. And then Rey got hurt. And that's not Gunther's fault at all. And he's just been kind of sort of weird and listless ever since. And they had a hard time finding him something to do. Or maybe they didn't. I don't know. They put him in this, which is fine. It's a last minute thing, or maybe not. But they booked the angle last minute. And it's just Gunther randomly working with Paul Heyman because he wants to. For Seth and Gunther to figure out who's better. Which is like, okay, great. Awesome. The thing for Gunther is he has to live up to the hype. It's a really rare moment for him, because we all know what he's capable of. We all know that, you know, his accolades follow him wherever he goes. And he does not necessarily have to back up what he does. In this case, I feel like in a way there is a little bit of pressure, because even though Seth is technically smaller, Seth is not a weak opponent for Gunther by any stretch of the imagination. And they've fought before. Like, this is not the first time of them meeting, but Seth is crafty. He's slippery. He's not necessarily going to go in and just brawl to the wall with Gunther. Gunther's going to have to kind of work for it a little bit with Seth. And whenever he gets opponents like that he just can't physically overwhelm, and he has to sort of have a little bit of a mental back and forth with him, it's more challenging for him in a good way, because it's not, I'm going to brute force my way out of this. It's, I have to think about how I'm going to brute force my way out of this. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I'm going to be different. I'm going to say Gunther.
Okay. Yes, the 8-Ball.
8-Ball, Gunther.
Wrestler 1.
That would be Seth freaking Rollins.
8-Ball, Seth.
It doesn't like Lindsay. Hey, well, Gunther, outlook not so good. So Seth Rollins is going to win.
Can we just say better not tell you is a no?
No, it's not a no, because it's not telling you either way. Next.
It's a no. It's so a no. All right, we have an unsanctioned match between Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre. This should be two beefy men slapping meat and each other with trash can lids, probably.
Kendo sticks, chains, chairs, handcuffs.
Maybe a golf cart. Ooh, could we get a golf cart?
No golf cart. They're going to brawl. They're going to probably be very physical with one another. This is, I think Drew does the favors. I think Jacob Fatu needs the win. If Randy is going to be your champion, needs a good baby face to work with. After the
That's not true.
So after the whole Jelly Roll tag match thing that's coming at Backlash, Jacob would be a great challenger for Randy. So I'm going Jacob.
I'm going to second that. I'm going Jacob.
A-ball?
Jacob?
She got a yes.
Because you asked it.
Wrestler 3.
And there's... Wrestler 3. But this one's not a Wrestler
3. Wrestler 2.
It's a Drew McIntyre.
Yay, went with Drew. Up next, you have a rather odd grouping. The six-man tag match of The Vision, which is Braun and Logan Paul, Logan Paul and Austin Theory, and I Show Speed, taking on the Usos, who will hopefully have a theme by the time they debut at WrestleMania, and LA Knight.
Yeah. This is going to kick off night one. You get your celebrity involvement right away. He's been training with them. Should be fine. He's very athletic, as seen on all the clips he's done. In general, he's fast. He can do a lot of things. He's young, motivated, athletic. So it'll work. But you start the show off right. Eating. And yeah, so I'm going Usos and LA Knight. Yeah.
I'm going to suck at that. I think people want to see the faces win here. It makes sense for the faces to win here. So, yeah, Usos and LA Knight.
Aba?
The Vision and I Show Speed? Most likely.
See, it gives you answers.
Wrestler 1.
At it the whole time.
Wrestler 1, which would be The Vision and I Show Speed.
I'm like right up on my screen and I'm just glaring at it.
Next.
Up next, we have for the women's IC title, AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch.
We've talked about this story a lot.
Yeah.
We've previewed it a bunch. This is AJ Lee's return to WrestleMania. She's going to look to perform. Kind of curious what her entrance will look like. Kind of curious what Becky's going to wear and what kind of her entrance is going to be. So I pitched this to Brent on Sunday after the show. So this can go both ways. But we're coming up on an anniversary and they've talked about different things. And one of the big stories a long time ago was when AJ Lee was last champion coming out of WrestleMania. Do you remember what happened the next night?
She lost the title to Paige.
To who? To Paige. Wouldn't it be if, say, Becky wins and beats AJ Lee, right? And she comes all out cocky on Monday Night Raw, and they redo that angle.
With who?
Sol Ruka. And Sol Ruka, night one, takes the belt off of Becky Lynch in recreating the AJ Lee story. Something like that. An AJ Lee Paige story. That would be fun. An open challenge.
It would
challenge,
be better with AJ.
What, to beat Becky again?
Yeah, for AJ to win and then AJ drops the title to Sol.
Like I said, it could work both ways. I was more going with the heel being cocky and stuff, but you could do it with AJ too. But it would be great, right? You do the open challenge on Raw, recreate the angle, hot start for Sol Ruka on the main roster. I'd be down for it because you could tie it all back. There's history there just to mention it and, hey, this happened 12 years ago, whatever it was, whatever the historical tie-in. I think it's 11 years, 10 years.
I think it's 11.
No, I think it's 10 because 11 years ago she retired. So it would have been 10 years where Paige came in right after, because it was after 30 it happened, if I remember correctly.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, whatever the tie-in, it would be cool to rerun that angle. As far as who wins, this one's really a coin toss. I don't think AJ Lee needs the belt long-term, which is why we pitched the angle and you can do it. I think Becky wins it back, finally closing the chapter of the story, allowing AJ to take a break or whatever she wants to do, come back, have a new story. Becky can, because we've been telling the story since September, the legs have run out.
Yeah.
We've told it. AJ and Becky need new opponents, with a fresh NXT roster that should come up and make new opponents, and you go from there. So I'm going Becky over AJ. What about you?
I'm going to go the opposite because it's AJ's first WrestleMania back. And you can really have her drop the title at any time. It doesn't necessarily have to be at WrestleMania. I think you let AJ get the victory here.
Okay, so I'm Becky, you're AJ. What about the 8-Ball?
8-Ball? AJ? No!
Straight up, no.
Wrestler 2.
Becky.
So the inanimate objects are divided. Oh, wait, no, they aren't. Just you and I.
Yes. What's next?
Okay, let's talk about this in a little bit more detail. Stephanie Vaquer defends her title against Liv Morgan.
So, here's my biggest problem with the build to WrestleMania for a lot of the stories. The top men and women haven't been wrestling as much. One thing that got everyone talking about Stephanie was her in the ring and how dominant she was being in the ring. It's like the crowd was really getting behind her. Crowd's still very much behind her. But it would have been great to see her in action. See Liv in action. Kind of like, get them to work a little bit. We need more people working on television. We need more 5-minute matches. Like, for both the men and the women, like, some of the top names that get in the ring out just a little bit more. Both on Raw and SmackDown. These two women have been physical. They've been beating each other up. They've called each other bitches and their mothers bitches and all the thing. They've talked trash. They've gotten violent. Liv is still sporting a bruise on her head and her face from the television and the concussion, or the colliding with Roxanne Perez, which caused a concussion. They've done a good job of telling the story, and it's been because Stephanie speaks a different language. While she is solid with English, she's not. You can't do the back and forth without them just yelling at each other and stuff like that. So they've done a great job of balancing it out with physicality and stuff, but I would love to see them in the ring more. And I think part of it was Stephanie went into the Rumble, kind of banged up, and I think they were playing it with safe with her. The girls need to work a little bit more. The guys need to work a little bit more because they're not doing live events as much. They will be in the summer. Like, leading into WrestleMania, they kind of played it safe in ring-wise. And I had the same complaint about, like, Oba should have been squashing people along with the stuff he's been doing with Brock. Because you need to expose him as a guy who can just beat people up. But that's a different story. For this, it's ultimately comes down to, have they done enough with Stephanie's reign since September? It's been solid. It's been good. There's still meat on the bone? Yes. But I don't mind her chasing either. What about you?
To me, there's one lingering issue out there that isn't really being talked about and isn't really being addressed. And that is what happened in the Royal Rumble between Roxanne and Raquel and Liv. And who eliminated who? And who cost who a shot at the title and the spot at WrestleMania? Because here's the thing, Roxanne and Raquel were doing really good without Liv. They would hit their stride, they were plugging away, they were making advancement. They had a really good shot in the Rumble. And now they're back to being the sidekicks again because Liv is back, right? And with all the issues in the Judgment Day, that's really not being talked about. It's really not being looked at, that's really not being addressed. Is how Liv's return and sort of her asserting herself into the role of leader is going to impact everybody else. We know Finn is gone. Finn is on the outs. But it's Liv taking over and how everybody else is going to feel with that, especially since, well, Liv has a lot of karmic debt on her, right? There's the stuff with Dom, with Rhea, which we all know she's kind of paid for, but that's still lingering in there. And we know we can't trust her based on that. Then there's everything else she's done, right? The question is does that catch up to her here? Because she's going in all cocky and confident and sure of herself that she can beat Stephanie Vaquer because, well, she's got backup. She's got people on her side, and that's not knocking Liv as a wrestler. She's perfectly capable of doing it on her own. But Stephanie Vaquer is also perfectly capable of kicking the shit out of Liv Morgan. We know what Stephanie can do. I think the injuries have maybe held Stephanie back just a little bit. I feel like she would have been wrestling more had she not been injured, but they made it work. They had her out on TV. I think she still has legs in her reign. I think this isn't the end, and I would honestly like to see her go past WrestleMania because personally, I just don't want to see Liv as champion again. I said it last time, and I will say it again. It does literally nothing for me. I don't find it interesting. I don't find it exciting. I find Liv failing and what that does to the tension in the Judgment Day much more intriguing than her winning the title and parading around with the title and doing the same shtick she always does and resting sort of on being the champion again.
So you're going
with, I maybe want, huh?
So you're going Stephanie, I should say.
Yeah, because I want to see Liv Morgan as a character get pushed in a different direction. Because she, my one issue with Liv is she doesn't necessarily evolve. She kind of finds that sweet spot and she sits in it until she's forced out of it. And then she like makes like one or two little tweaks to it. And then she stays like that again. And she's been doing what she's been doing for a while now. And the character is very static. I want to see her get pushed character-wise, story-wise, in a little bit of a different direction. So I'm going to go with Stephanie.
I'm going to go Liv.
8-ball. Liv.
That look good.
Okay.
Wheel.
Wrestler one.
So that would be the Stephanie. Champion. But before we go to break, just going to show Lindsay in chat. That's how close it was on the wheel.
Wow.
It's right on the line.
I don't know. I think you should re-roll that.
No, it's clear. No, it's there. It's over the line, but it's really close.
I would say that's a re-roll, but...
Wrestler one.
You got it a second time. More clear.
There. Definitive.
Definitive. But it was right. You can see it. It's
right there.
It was right there. Let's go to break.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about night 2 of WrestleMania. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back.
So this life's always with me. The essence of my veins will never be love. Love. Every time you try to fix me, I know you'll never find that missing piece. When you cry.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what
they didn't like, and what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use supported creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK. In the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, we use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we're talking night two of WrestleMania. I hope y'all got your snacks.
So it's this first hour on night two is going to be on ESPN proper. And they are kicking it off with one of the best built matches on the show. Oba Femi, Brock Lesnar. This has mainstream appeal, like him or not. Brock is a star. It has mainstream appeal. But it also is just two beefy men slapping meat. But this is also a passing of the torch moment. All week long, for this, and including this entire build, it's Oba's time. You're in a position to make someone new. There's been a lot of talk on the internet of we're getting the era of young talent being pushed up the rank. Javon Evans, Trick Williams, Oba Femi. This last class of NXT, kind of getting the mainstream push for the main roster for the men. Oba was its longest running champion for a while. He was the man and a dominant performer. It's a couple struggles, but he got his belt back, but for the most part, he was dominant. And now he's coming up against a guy who, for the last decade or so, has been one of the most dominant performers in WWE history. A decade before that, he was again one of the more dominant performers in WWE history before he left. Brock is a pure athlete. Brock is mainstream. Brock's been the man. But it's coming to an end. And they've been hyping it up on ESPN. It's where it's like, this is Oba's time. Like, they're putting it out there as mainstream, like, buzzwords on the ESPN previews. It's like, Oba's a guy. Is this the time where Oba Femi becomes the man? The next face of WWE. He's organically getting over with the audience. Probably didn't see him much in NXT. With his strut. You see fans doing it all the time. He's the man going forward. They better put him over. He's gotta win this match. You know?
Yeah. But is he gonna? That's the thing.
The hesitation was, like, he needed, like, he's been too strong in this build. That's my one hiccup with the plan of, he's just too strong.
And it's Brock.
Talking about Sunday, it's like, oh, the rumor was Brock doesn't want to lose until he retires. That's it. He would like to not lose. Anyone doesn't want to.
Right?
No one actively wants to lose. It's like thing that you protect yourself more than anything. Like, yeah, I'm going to pitch. Maybe I shouldn't lose. Maybe Brock shouldn't lose. Like, you pitch it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's Oba Femi winning. Has all the storyline aspects of make a guy, you haven't beat a legend, it all there. It's a sports center moment. Everything's written out there, plain and simple. But then it's Brock and he squashes people. But I also think Brock realizes when he sees somebody, he does the favors because he knows. You know, I think he realizes where the business is. Like, he's all for all of the faults and in protecting and stuff. He's always done things to get people over.
This Brock, this version of Brock, understands business. Understands of what he's doing is business. He has always been about the money. He's not in it for the prestige. He's not in it for the fame. He's not in it for the notoriety. He doesn't give a fuck. He is there to get paid. That's it. That's what he wants. He wants to get paid. And that he doesn't get paid more for wins or for losses, but Brock recognizes good business. He understands good business. If he had to, would he do something for Oba? Probably. Will he, though? That's the question.
I hope so. I hope he does. I'm going Oba Femi wins. It's just easy story. It's the good, it's opening the show. It's a feel good open. Because if Brock wins and that crowd feels sour afterwards, you're going to have to work hard to get them back. And they're going to go into with the ladder match because it's right after. But, like, you can sour a crowd real fast when they know that there's a wrong decision, as we've all seen. But Oba winning to start the show night two, it's easy business. Go easy business. Because you're going to have a lot of people sour with Pat McAfee night one.
Yeah.
Easy business night two. I'm going Oba.
I'm so undecided on this match. Like, seriously, very undecided. Because it's Brock, right? It's Brock. And we all know Brock, right? We all know how he... But it's Oba. And they have something in Oba. They know they have something in Oba. And they're building him. I think the question is what would make Brock Lesnar want to hang it up? Someone like Brock. Because if you really think about him, you think about his attitude, you think about him as a person. Brock didn't have to come back. Every time he comes back, he never has to come back. He's good on money. He's good on everything. He's just doing it because he can and because he's going to get paid. That's it. So what would make somebody like that decide it's not worth the money anymore?
It's that's the deal. He's not here long term. He's here for the short term. His run is coming to an end. Brock is going to be 50 in a couple of years. Like, he's,
well, that's never stopped anybody in wrestling.
No, but I think he's done to finish things up, because going out and not finishing it up, he deserves to finish it up.
Yeah, he deserves to finish it up. He's earned the right to finish it up. I think for me, what I would like to see out of this match is, I do want to see the two big beefy men slapping me, and I want to see Oba take Brock to his limit. Push him as far and as hard as Brock can go. It's just a knockdown, drag out, two big beefy dudes slapping meat until there's a winner. And I think if Oba wins, I want to see him beat Brock Lesnar into submission. And that's how Oba wins, where it is a definitive victory. It's not a quick roll-up. It's not with any kind of shenanigans or interference. It is just Oba Femi beats Brock Lesnar.
So what you do for
soundly.
This, what you do for
no
this match,
question.
What you do for this match, it's going to be 3 minutes of them, 2 minutes of them, 3 minutes of them, listening to the crowd. To build the anticipation for the fight. And they run hard for 7 to 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Oba drops him. Flat out, center of the ring. 1, 2, 3. They're not going to go long, but they're going to go hard. Oba Femi.
Because if this turns into another Brock Lesnar F5, LOL Brock wins in like 2 minutes, I'm going to scream. I will get on the internet and I will scream. Twitch.tv/LensWard. Ding. So, I'll go Oba. Even though, like, in the back of my mind, it's like, but it's Brock. It's Brock. It's freaking Brock. And I know the rumor is SummerSlam, but that's not on lock yet. And I don't want to bank on the fact that we're all thinking Brock is going to be done at SummerSlam when we don't know that for certain. Because he could decide after WrestleMania he's done and he walks away. And that's it. And Gunther doesn't get his match. Because that is the other factor in this, is Gunther. Does Gunther get involved in this? Does he try to mess with Brock? Does he try to start that feud off? Or do they wait until the night after Raw?
They're gonna.
I think they need to
wait
for the night after Raw.
No, you no interference, straight up, no angle. Oba wins. You don't put anyone else involved. No one else needs to be involved in this.
Not even Heyman. Just give us great face Heyman, that's all.
Yeah. So, Oba,
mm-hmm.
April?
Oba? That look good.
If this is Wrestler 1, congrats, Brock Lesnar.
Wrestler 3.
Wrestler 2.
They picked Brock Lesnar. So, you know, there you go. All right, let's get through some matches.
We'll be indifferent. All right. This is going to be fun. Even though it's a little disappointing, it's going to be fun. The Demon makes his return at WrestleMania to beat up Dominic Mysterio.
All right, hot take. This match should be 3 minutes. Finn Balor, the Demon, should come in.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And squash Dominic Mysterio.
I'll do you one better. Dom doesn't even get in the ring.
No, Dom gets in the ring.
Dom doesn't even get a ring. He runs away like a little bitch. Even though we all want to see Dom gets just absolutely annihilated by Finn. Dom chickens out, because the Fiend is cool. Don't get me wrong. Fiend is great. Fiend is awesome. But 90% Demon. Of the Fiend's appeal.
Demon.
Is.
Demon.
Or, excuse me. Demon. 90% of the Demon's appeal is the entrance. Demon. My allergies are messing with me in a really bad way, guys. Sorry.
You're good. So no, it's that's why it's got to be quick. Get him in the ring. Dom tries to get a heat spot. Demon no sells it. Demon wins in 3 minutes. Because the entrance is going to be long anyhow.
Yeah.
Like, then you do the rematch, Finn versus Dom, where it's normal Finn, where he gets what he wants, where it's just normal Finn, still loses. But he'll Dom it up and, you know, and stuff. He'll play chicken shit perfect. So I'm going Demon Finn Balor. You're going?
I'm going the Demon. It's the return. He has to win.
Ask the 8-Ball.
8-Ball. Demon? Uh-oh.
Wrestler 2.
That is Dominic Mysterio.
A-ball? Dom?
Don't count on it.
Don't count on it. You could have just said that. God damn. All right, up next, we have Sami Zayn versus Trick Williams for the U.S. Championship.
Oh, okay. Going to that one. Because you missed the ladder match. So,
I'll go back to it.
All right, go back to the comments I made about Obafemi. They're put... No, to the point where, in the media, it's Javon, Trick, Oba, like this class of NXT. They're pushing it. They want you to be them to be the guys. Right? That's the story. That's what they're trying to sell the people on. Fans are rallying behind Trick Williams. Everyone's complaining about Sami. He didn't do anything wrong. Other than took advantage of a situation that most people do. Everyone feels bad for Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo had a great run on television. Should he be on the show? Yes. But the story dictates you're pushing Trick. Trick's going to walk out with the U.S. title. And they're probably doing a double turn where they finally turn Sami heel. Because the crowd's making them do it. So I'm going Trick.
Yeah. I don't have a lot to add on that, so I'm going to say Trick as well.
8-ball.
Trick? Very doubtful. It's offended.
Wrestler 2.
Whoop that. Trick.
Okay. In a six-pack ladder match for the men's IC title, you have Penta, Javon Evans, Dragon Lee, JD McDonough, Rusev, and Rey Mysterio vying for the title. I think everybody wins here because this is just going to be epic. This is going to be so good. Please, Rey, take care of yourself. Don't do anything stupid.
Don't get hurt, Rey. Javon's going to do a OG cutter where he cut someone off the ladder. Don't look spectacular. Mm-hmm. Rey doesn't win this. He doesn't need the IC title. Rusev could win it, but he's... No. JD? Maybe? But this comes down to either Penta or Javon. And again, what I've been saying for the last couple matches, pushing people. The young crew. Let Javon get the belt. Let Javon run. See how he can fly with the IC title for a little bit. And have him be a workhorse on Raw. So I'm Javon Evans. What about you?
I think they keep it on Penta. I don't, as good as Javon is going, I think Penta, there's more you can do with that reign. So I'm going Penta.
Yeah, but they're high on Penta as well, and it would be too short of a reign. Again, it doesn't need to be, you can trade the belt back and forth. That's made every great rivalry for every single championship. Intercontinental title is always known to go back and forth between people. Austin Rock, Shawn Razor, the list goes on. You trade the IC title back and forth, does it? It's okay. Trading belts, putting other people over, doesn't hurt. Anyway, Javon, Penta, 8-ball, JD.
Outlook not so good.
Right, we'll come back to one then. We spin.
Three.
Yay!
Which would be Dragon Lee. So, 8-ball, Dragon Lee. Asking later. Okay. I'm going to ask you again later, 8-ball. Rusev.
All signs point to yes.
There you go. What's next?
Up next, we have Jay Cargill versus Rhea Ripley for the Women's Championship. WWE Women's Championship.
So, it feels like a night or nights of a lot of title changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the belts are going to switch hands a bunch. I'm looking at this match and going, I'm not sure. The title changes hand. But that all depends on the finger of one person. And everyone's telling you it's not healed yet. She just had surgery, but it's still swelling, and she won't come back until she can bend it and it won't break. So it feels like she's a long way off still.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a collision course. Cargill, Bianca Belair. That's the match they want to go to. And we've talked about it. Title fatigue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Feels like that's with Rhea, right?
Yeah. I would agree with that. She doesn't need it.
She doesn't need it. Doesn't mean it won't stop them from putting the belt on her, because she's not held it. Technically has not held the Women's Championship since last year, the beginning of last year, and she held it for 3 weeks? A month? Something like that. 6 weeks, maybe, whatever it was from... Might have been, technically, I think it was 2 months because title offenses, but it felt like shorter. But it wasn't a long time. She didn't have a long, healthy reign with it. They've told a good, solid story. Promo work's been all right. Rhea's still Rhea. She gets the big reactions. Jade has backup now. Rhea's backup is EO. But who knows how that plays. I feel like all of them are going to be involved. The Meechin and BFAB will probably play a part in the outcome at some point, or get beat up in the process. I would hope in a perfect world Bianca is healthy and kind of is the third woman for Team Rhea and kind of takes care of the baddies, as it were. This one's tough because I could see, again, title change, it's all over the show. I kind of want to say Jade retains, but my heart's still going Rhea wins.
I feel like a win over Rhea would give Jade even more momentum than what she has now. I think it would continue to help put her further on the map. Even though she's held the title for a while and she's done fine with it, because she's held it since what, Rumble?
November?
She beat
She beat Tiffany, but she hasn't had many defenses, and that's kind of been the talk. So there's still meat on the bone.
I think this would be a feather in Jade's cap if she can beat Rhea. Because as much as I love Rhea, right? Like, we all love Rhea. She's fantastic. She's over. She doesn't need to win the title. She is somebody else that she has nothing to prove. She is in a really good place, a really good spot on the roster. She could do anything she wants, and she would be fine. I think Rhea could take the loss here and give that to Jade and help give Jade more shine than she already has and sort of help bring Jade up, as it were. So I'm going Jade.
I'm going to go Rhea. What about you, April?
Rhea? Yes.
And the wheel says...
Wrestler 2.
Rhea.
Okay. All right. And last, but not least, the match that didn't need a build, but had a build anyway. CM Punk versus Roman Reigns for the World Championship.
This was really pretty good build. Did it have some interesting moments? Yes. But they've tied it all pretty much together. Some of the outrageous promo stuff that could or could not work, but they've made it work, and there's tension there. And this is one of those big fight feel matches where they don't have to do much early because the crowd's going to be on the edge of their seat just watching. Fans will be crazy. We'll have Team Punk. We'll have Team Roman. And everyone will be cheering. Don't want to say Hogan Rock, but the crowd should be that electric because you have your two biggest stars of your brand in the ring for the world's heavyweight championship. This is the hardest match to pick on this entire two-night event. Because on one hand, you could go CM Punk continues on because he's the full-time guy. But as there always is, it's the Roman Reigns card. And if they want to play it, they can play it. Because Roman Reigns, at the end of the day, is still their top draw. Like it or not. He's the one they bank on. When they need him, they put the belt on. It's been 2 years since he's held the belt. Even though it doesn't feel that long, it is still 2 years without the championship. And if he loses, I think you could finally go in a direction for Roman where you can tell a new story. And I'll address you, the man. I just don't want another part-time champion again. In 2026, what does part-time mean? Because when you look at it, the roster's part-time these days because they only work once a week. So what's part-time? It's a battle of ego. I feel like there's going to be a lot of politicking play here. Because the outcome for the next 6 months would be like, well, Roman wins it, doesn't have to defend it every month, won't be there every month, maybe. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Maybe he's the guy who loses on Raw after Mania. Wouldn't that be surprising?
That would be something. Oba could come out, he could challenge Roman. Coming off a victory of Brock, he's riding high.
Part-time is showing up only 2 months a month and defending only at SummerSlam and maybe Money in the Bank. Well, news, good for that. Good for you. Those are shows back to back, SummerSlam and then Money in the Bank. So that'd be two locked in shows. The end of the summer. I feel like if Roman's locked in, you run Roman for 6 months and see what it gets you. But I don't think he's locked in. Punk's locked in.
Mm-mm.
Punk's on a run. And you mentioned what it would in previous matches, like what would a win do for so and so, right?
Mm-hmm.
Punk beating Roman. That would be an ego boost for Punk. Like, this is 50-50. This is a coin toss. It could go either way. And that, at the end of the day, makes for a great match. Because you just don't know where it will go. The finishes for the last 10 minutes of that match will make for some hell of great drama. Because every pinfall will matter.
Yeah.
Compared to tonight's one main event, they'll be dramatic. But they won't have the impact because you know both guys are locked in and there's then there's going to be shenanigans. You look at this match, will there be shenanigans? Maybe, maybe not. But you're going to have two guys running around, running out there, laying it all on the table, and just, you just don't know. And that will keep everyone on the edge of their seats. As far as wins, would they have Punk lose back-to-back Manias in his first ever main event Mania? They could.
Yeah, they could.
Punk's won enough matches in his career. Like, would it be great for him professionally finally wins a WrestleMania main event? Yeah, but again, the loss doesn't hurt him. I don't know. This is toss-up territory, at least to me.
I'm with you on that this could go either way, because it really could. And I think it's dependent on what the company's goals are and where they're going to be for the next 6 months. Due to events that are going on in the world, specific things might be in jeopardy. And we don't know what's going to happen with them. No pronouncements or announcements have been made regarding those shows. I think they're sort of waiting it out and seeing what happens and being very cautious with it.
Which is why your end of June event has not
been announced. Because they're taking the wait and see approach, which good for them. The thing is, you put the title on Roman. Great. Where do you go? What do you do? Who does he face?
You say the same thing. Keep it on Punk. Who does he face?
I think, depending on what happens with Oba would probably be the qualified candidate for both.
Yeah, but I think that's SummerSlam.
Well, they could start building that now. I mean, there's nothing stopping them except time. I don't know. Title fatigue is a thing, and I know Roman hasn't had it for 2 years. I just don't want to see him with it again. I think he's kind of one of those, like, he and Rhea and possibly even Cody are sort of beyond needing the title now. They've hit, and there's a few others in there as well, but they've hit that point where it does nothing for them. It doesn't enhance them any. It's just an accessory with them. Punk, and for all of his cult status, I feel like is not on that level. I don't know why he isn't on that level to me. But to Punk, at least the way the character presents, the title is important. It matters to him. He carries it with pride. And I just feel like, depending on what's going to happen, I don't know. My heart's saying Punk. Like, especially since he lost last year, and he's going to be in the main again this year. Like, you sort of pay that back a little bit by having him win here, and he stands tall with the title over his head, and he retains. I'm going Punk. 8-Ball.
Okay, go 8-Ball.
Don't count on it.
Okay, so my pick.
Sorry.
Again, 50-50. It's a battle of egos. It's a battle of politics. Who can play the game better? There's a hard possibility for me saying, I don't know if Roman's going to do the job for Punk. I don't know if his ego would let it. But I'm still going to go Punk. It's like that. There's that politic thing. It's like, and you know, Heyman in both ears, because he probably is in both guys' ears, because they're both Paul Heyman guys. 2 years is a long time, but it's a short time too. Title fatigue, all that. I'll go Punk. But my brain goes, I have a hard time seeing Roman laying down. Because again, going back to LeMann's question, would they have Punk lose back-to-back Manias in the first ever main event Manias? Would they have Roman Reigns lose back-to-back Manias?
I think Roman can take it more than Punk can. I'm going to be really honest on that.
I don't disagree. But when you
Roman
look at
has,
it,
what, 6 years of winning that he can rest on?
I get that. But from a company standpoint, do you have Roman lose back-to-back Manias? It weighs in.
I don't remember. Who did Roman fight last year?
He was in the triple threat match with CM Punk and Seth Rollins.
I think because, I mean, you could argue this for both of them, that because they were in a triple threat, it's not as damning to lose, because two were bound to lose anyway. What hurts Punk more is he was the one that was pinned.
Actually, this would be three. No, I take it back. This would be 3 years in a row, because Roman lost the year prior.
Only you would know that.
Well, because someone finished their story. He lost
to
Cody.
Oh, that's right. Cody did beat Roman for the title.
Yeah, so it's like.
But I forgot that.
You forget it, but it's the main thing, like, because it closed the chapter. So it's now 3 years. Like, now you play that card. 3 years in a row. Does he lose?
I'm still going Punk.
I'm still going Punk. But you look at it as a company, your flagship guy, it's right there.
It's right there, but again, Roman is kind of going into that transition period where he is beginning to move on to other things. And so I think they need to get him more ready for that, and winning and losing, that doesn't matter as much where he's going or he's trying to go.
I get that, but I'm just, for that reason, it wouldn't surprise me that Roman went. That's all. All right. Punk. Who'd you ask for the 8-ball? Punk? Don't count on
Punk.
It? Punk. Mm-hmm. So it's Roman. Comes down to the wheel. Wheel.
Wrestler 3.
Yes!
So like I said, this one is 50-50 in the wheel. Pick the one option that says Wrestler 3. Does it do it twice in a row?
Wrestler 1.
It's going Punk.
That's our show.
So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
We'll be back tomorrow night around 10 p.m. Eastern to simulate these 13 matches of WrestleMania. Join us in WWE 2K26. Saturday night, we're live right after night one of WrestleMania to talk all about it. Rack X Reviews, night one of WrestleMania. The full show will be reviewed on Wrestle Talk Radio when night two ends. We'll be back Monday for the Raw Post Show, night after Mania edition. We'll talk all about it when Raw ends, and we'll be live next Thursday night to give our full review of night two right here on the Rack. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKINGSOCK or
Lin's M Word.
In the Fortnite item shop, Epic Games Store, when you buy Stone Cold Steve Austin and Liv Morgan, among other things. Because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/SMLinsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LinsWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell Matt we said hi. And happy WrestleMania, because he's a big wrestling fan. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. We will see you tomorrow night for WrestleMania Sims. Be there or be the square. Bye.
She ready, then I'm ready. Pull up on her with the Chevy. WildTalkRadio.com.